and welcome to another edition of Visions. I am Yudali Wickham-Ashby, and today I'm really pleased to have in the studio with me Marcia Hines Lane.
Thank you.
President of National Organization of Women.
Yes, that's right.
And a very active young lady in the community. So, Marcia, tell us about the National Organization of Women. When was it founded, and what's the main purpose of the organization?
The National Organization of Women is an umbrella body for all clubs and organizations working in activism for women and girls issues in Barbados. The National Organization of Women was formed in 1972. Formal institutionalization began in 1976, and we've been going ever since. So it's actually one of the oldest organizations, civil society organizations in the Commonwealth Caribbean region. And basically what we do is that we coordinate. We act as a coordinating body, like I said, for all the clubs that are doing work in the women and girls space on the island. And that coordination happens at the local level, happens at the regional level, and at the international level as well.
So share with us some of the major areas of work for the organization over the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, I think everybody knows of our presence and our voice to do with the issues of violence against women, be that intimate partner violence, which is where women, mostly women, are affected by various types of violence, including physical violence, emotional violence, sexual violence, that go along with them trying to negotiate relationships, usually with men. We also look at the issues of rape and support for women and girls after the experience of rape. But then there are also other areas of work that we do which are not as known as the work that we do with intimate partner violence. For example, there are several of us, the clubs and the affiliates of the National Organization of Women, who run school programs. There's, you know, groups like the Barbados Association of Muslim Ladies, who run just ordinary workshop groups with for members in their community. We have the Nurses Association as well, under the umbrella of NOW, and they do, you know, workshops and stuff related to their particular professional issues. So really and truly, the work, the gamut of work that the National Organization of Women does is very broad. But of course, like I said, for obvious reasons, we're more known for the work that we do around the areas, the issues of intimate partner violence, domestic violence.
So share with us, because recently we would have ended the 16 days of activism.
Mm-hmm.
Share some of what NOW would have done in relation to this.
I think the clubs under the National Organization of Women did an extraordinary job this year in terms of celebrating the 16 days of activism. And I must make the point that we did that without government support, because that support was pulled, you know, at the last minute. So there were a number of clubs who did a number of things. The Soroptimists, for example, had a screening which looked at the issue of rape, which was the overarching issue of that we coalesced around for the 16 days of activism this particular time. So they would have done a filming and a feedback session that looked at the issue of rape and how we all are complicit sometimes in rape culture. The Barbados Professional Women's Club would have hosted a panel discussion on the issue of trauma and how trauma affects individuals coming out of experiences such as intimate partner violence. The National Organization of Women itself, we would have had a screening of a play that looked at the issue of self-esteem and the intersections between self-esteem and intimate partner violence, because research shows that one of the reasons that women stay in abusive relationships has to do with their self-esteem and how they construct their self-esteem. Some of them feel like they deserve to be in a relationship where there's violence. The Mothers Union had a march and rally in town on Saturday, which really was a very solid culmination to the activities that other clubs had done. They basically, you know, for the lack of a better phrase, called out the church and asked the church what its response and how it was going to support women. And they also presented some collections that they had made of food items and other items to the Barbados Professional Women's Club shelter. We also had Women of Purpose who put on a vigil for families who had lost victims to intimate partner violence. So again, amazing work done, various types of celebrations that were had, and I must thank all of those people across the public who would have supported us, and also corporate Barbados who would have come in and tried as much as possible to fill the gaps left by the government removing its support.
Now, Marsha, you have been very involved with activism around women's issues. What would you say are like the key issues that you would like to see government and civil society really address in a more practical and purposeful way?
You know, I've been doing this work now for 16 years. And of course, like many activists in this space, I came to the work out of personal experiences with violence and realizing that the supports and the means to cry out and not only to cry out but to be heard are lacking. And I asked myself over the 16 years that I've been doing the work, have we really changed anything? And obviously, if I don't want to be cynical, I have to feel like we've changed anything. But I know for sure what we have not changed is the culture and the way that we treat victims of domestic violence and of intimate partner violence. And I want to make the distinction that domestic violence is any violence that happens now in the familial space. So we're not just talking about a husband against a wife. We're not just talking about, you know, intimate relationships. We're talking about father against daughter. We're talking about father against son. We're talking about aunt against niece, you know. So when we look at it that way, not even the understanding of the types of abuse and the people who face abuse have really changed. Barbados can be a very harsh society. And I feel like sometimes that makes it difficult for people to be able to come into the space and say, this is the help that I need. There are so many gaps still within the governmental services to deal with domestic violence. I'm not even singling out intimate partner violence, right? I'm talking about domestic violence. There are so many gaps that exist. There are so many ways in which the system re-victimizes people. So the point at which the reports are made to the police force, the responses that victims get sometimes from the members of the Royal Barbados Police Force. And, you know, again, gains have been made and I have been seeing incremental change. However, I still feel like those experiences that I hear from victims where something didn't quite go right they're still too prevalent, right?
So then, Marsha, that begs the question, where do we really start? Start with the family?
I think that where we have to start is just an acceptance of the damage that domestic violence causes. When we understand the linkages between domestic violence and school violence, when we understand the linkages between domestic violence and crime, when we understand the linkages between domestic violence and us not being able to be productive in our economy, I feel like we will be more driven not to see this as an issue that affects a one woman or a two woman, but that it is an issue that really, if we are looking to recreate Barbados and to make a more productive and safe Barbados for everybody, is at the root of how it is that we have to recreate this society. It is a cultural change more than any other change that is necessary. The way that we view children, children's agency, the way that we understand how children are affected when they live in volatile family situations, the way that we understand how that affects them moving into adulthood and the ability to be able to have a quote-unquote normal and functional adulthood. I feel like when we do that basic cultural reengineering. It will then help us to be able to create the social support systems that we need.
Now, Marsha, let us start that whole conversation about the social re-engineering.
Sure.
Because I think that oftentimes many individuals are not seeing simple and practical steps that they as an individual can take, even within their own household, in their workspaces, in their churches, in their communities. So let us lay out a little simply.
Okay.
For some individuals to say, okay, yes, I can do that.
All right,
fine. I can do that in my family. I can do that in my community. I can do that in my play group.
I am actually glad that you frame it in that way, Yudeli, because what it does is it gives each of us ownership of the solution. And I like that because none of us is helpless.
Correct.
So what you can do is that you can seek to live your life in such a way that creates safe space for people around you. So you might have that, let's start with child, who seems to be aggressive, who seems to be lashing out, who seems to be uncomfortable in some way. You might be interacting with that child as a family member. You might be interacting with that child as a Sunday school teacher. You might be interacting with that child as a teacher at school. Don't let us try not to label people in the Barbadian space. Let's stop defining people's issues as hardiness, whatlessness, laziness. Let's create a space where we say, I wonder what's really going on here. And that we are invested in trying to find solutions for that person. A lot of us are still uncomfortable with feeling like, oh, well, that's what's going on in them house. That ain't got nothing to do with me. It has something to do with me at the point that I become a part of the situation. So let us try to create safe spaces. If you see that child, you try as much as possible to be able to have a conversation. It might not necessarily be with the child's parents, because that might be where the problem is coming from. But it might be with the pastor, if you are responsible for the Sunday school. It might be, you know, with perhaps an aunt, if you feel like that is the way. But not to just walk off and do nothing. That is practical and it's simple.
But then, Marsha, let's look at some real hard situations where you're saying, okay, let's talk to the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be the pastor's daughter that come to you and say, well, my daddy's molesting me.
That
what do you do?
True. That is very true. And at the end of the day, I feel like this is where civil society, for sure, has a responsibility. Because each of us knows somebody that's involved with something. A Soroptimist Club, a Udali, a somebody that you can say, let me try to get some more information. My difficulty is not with people not knowing what to do. My difficulty, my challenge is more with people opting to do nothing because it is more comfortable. And that is a very, like I said, cultural thing within Barbados. All of us knows one safe individual, somebody that we can go to and try to initiate a conversation. And sometimes the people that are acting out the most, the children in the schools, the young men on the block, whoever you're looking at, they're really looking for solutions. They're really crying out for somebody to say, okay, let me see how I can facilitate this situation. And if we change the culture to be able to hear the cries of people, then we become more invested in creating mechanisms to hear people. So I am very concerned, for example, with a lot of our social service agencies, because I feel like when people go to these agencies for their cries to be heard, that there is not enough support and time to hear cries. And I feel like if you're really talking about getting to the crux of the instability that we have in the Barbadian society, we just simply have to become invested in creating those spaces.
Well, one of the things I really would like to see is, as you're saying, that changing of the culture where it can start in one small area and then snowball and really build into a bigger paradigm shift in our country, because it is needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that I attended that session looking at trauma,
right?
And what the social worker, Miss Kelly, was the point she was making is that lots of us as children would have experienced some traumatic situation and unfortunately was not dealt with in a meaningful way to help the child address some of the effects of the trauma. And as adults, we still have that trauma hidden in the deep recesses of our mind.
And really, for me, that is one of the biggest issues that we have in Barbados right now. The fact that we have a lot of adults who are recovering from the childhoods that they had. And if you're talking about productivity, if you're talking about performance in the workplace, if you're talking about their ability to parent, if you're talking about their ability to be financially responsible, all of these things are tied to the adult that you are capable of being based on the childhood that you had. Now, people, you know, people will say, oh, but y'all making excuses for people and this and that. But you can either be invested in understanding how all of these things are interlinked, or you can be just invested in feeling that people are worthless. And I'm sorry, I will never be the person who will invest in people just doing this because they want to do it. I feel like there are always ways to explain behaviors that we see in people. And when you invest in understanding that there are ways to explain it, you can then invest in ways to help. And for sure, the kind of environments that we have children growing up in Barbados, these very volatile, very vulnerable households, is to me at the crux of a lot of the behaviors that we are trying to explain in other ways in our society.
And this is so true, because as I think of children, young adults with disabilities, and even older adults with disabilities, being exposed, being a lot of their emotions and a lot of their expectations being suppressed because of violence, because of, you know, that low expectation of them.
Yes.
It really begs the question, how can we help to really rebuild and reposition our people in this small island?
Now, I'm glad that you raised that point in terms of talking about people with different abilities in our society, because it is one of the things that I have embraced when I was a PRO of NOW, and it is something that I feel like we need to continue to embrace. The fact that we have all of these discussions about violence, about social reengineering, about many things, and the disabled community, the differently abled community, are excluded from the discussions. And I feel like if there is, you know, one thing that I want to, like I said, continue to do, because I have started, is to make sure that everybody has a seat at the table, and that we do not seek to speak on the behalf of people, but that we create spaces where people themselves can speak and can feel empowered. We have had clients in our work at the National Organization of Women who have been differently abled. I've only ever dealt with female clients. And sometimes the horror stories, you know, it is bad enough because it is intimate partner violence or domestic violence. And then it somehow feels even worse because you're dealing with a person who is just vulnerable by virtue of, you know, how they were born in some instances, medical challenges in other instances, accidents in other instances, and people who you feel like the society and the family should be able to care for and support are made further vulnerable by various abuses. That is something that we're not talking about enough. And those are conversations, again, that make me feel like this investment in changing our culture and how we treat people is one of the important ways to address some of the issues that we're seeing.
You know, I often say to persons within the disabled community that one of the things, one of the big lessons that we can take from some of the developed countries like the US, Canada, and England is that a number of things, two major things happen. One, persons with disabilities really come out and represent themselves. And secondly, politicians and other key stakeholders in those countries also get very involved and seek to not only change policy, but change culture. Mm-hmm. And we are not seeing enough of this in Barbados. As you just said, many organizations will speak to domestic violence, intimate partner violence. They will talk about education. They will talk about health. Mm-hmm. But they exclude or forget to include
definitely able people.
Persons with disabilities.
You know, I don't know, Yudli. It seems like you just, I don't know, you you're drawing me out on some issues that I've been thinking about recently. One of the things that came out of the experience with the 16 days coordination this year was really this thought about how we continue to judge individuals that we give office to in their representation of us. I find that there is a lack of a relationship, or it feels like there is a lack of a relationship between elected government officials in Barbados and civil society causes, lobbies, and movements. So we are invested in electing a government once every 5 years, but then when we, as people who have causes that we're passionate about, yourself, the differently able, myself, you know, issues around women and girls, when we go looking for a champion for the House of Assembly or for cabinet or for an issue, it feels to me like we come up short. And I have been reconciling, how do we elect officials that are willing to become champions for more than just politics, the raw politics of winning a seat in a particular constituency, but people who have the passion that we need to create support for lobbies? Because really and truly, like I said, over the 16 years reflection, I feel like for all the work that we have done with women and girls in the Barbadian space, too little has changed. I am becoming frantic as my daughter is becoming an older teenage girl, that she is going to inherit a world quite like what I inherited, for all of the ground that I've slapped, for all of the noise that I've kept. Very little has changed in her experience. And my daughter happens to be, you know, differently abled as well. And so I also know that a lot has not changed for all of your agitation and effort. And we cannot be happy enough to continue to give our younger generations the same society that we have inherited.
One of the points that I often make to CEOs and other decision makers within corporate Barbados, as well as government departments, is that it's not only about the money. Yes. We need your time. We need Yes. your talents being invested in helping persons with disabilities at youth at risk.
Yes.
Men who are vulnerable. Mm-hmm. To really give them share some of your time
yes.
and talent with them, that they can develop some social skills mm-hmm. if they're lacking that, that they can develop other skills, that they can become employable or create their own businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that each of us can do in helping another individual become a better person.
You know, you're right. It's not even just at the level of elected officials. It's also at the level of the captains of industry. I do not feel like there should be a Christmas party in Barbados that the staff don't try to reach out to two vulnerable people in the immediate vicinity of the community of the business. I do not feel like I had this experience where you know, an association that my daughter is involved in is having a Christmas party. These parents are parents who are able. They have means, right? And when I see the list of food, it's just this body donating this and this body sending this. And I'm like, it became gross to me, to the point where I said to the person who was coordinating the activity, we have more than enough food. Let's stop asking parents to send food. Ask them to send a gift, so that we can then take those gifts and donate to some agency. I had chosen Children Affected by Intimate Partner Violence for the year just because that's easy for me to coordinate. Mm-hmm. But there are so many children in Barbados who don't stand to get a good Christmas gift this year. I find it gross for people who have to just continue to pile up a menu, pile up. Those children are not going to eat half that food, because children don't eat food at parties Okay? The food just stays there. It wastes most of the time. And there are people in Barbados who do not have. But there are not enough of us who think that way. There are some people in Barbados who are comfortable to walk down the road to work, walk back up the road from work, and they're completely unbothered by anything else that is happening in this society. And if we continue to inculcate that in our culture, because it's not historical, it's not traditional, that's not how the old Barbados lived, but it has come in. And if we continue to inculcate it, we will continue to have problems because all of us are disconnected. All of us are disconnected, and that's problematic.
Well, Marcia, recently I was involved with a non-entry project.
Yes.
And this really focused extensively mm-hmm. on domestic violence, mm-hmm. gender-based violence. And there is a game mm-hmm. that many of our young children can play
yes.
to help develop some of the empathy
yes.
that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Some of that caring for their fellow human being.
Yes.
And I would want to encourage you, the parents, and young people who are listening to this program.
And I think it's online. And yes. it's a free resource.
Free resource. So you just Google the name is Jessie.
Yes.
Yes. Jessie. Look for the non-entry mm-hmm. website mm-hmm. and download that game. It comes with a manual where you can help guide your children and young adults to really look at the whole question
of empathy.
Of empathy.
It's lacking. Mm-hmm.
And violence.
Yes.
How do we deal with violence?
I just think it's important too to make the point that that name None in Three comes from the statistic that in the Caribbean, the Commonwealth Caribbean, one in three women in the Caribbean is affected by some form of domestic or intimate partner violence. Mm-hmm. So instead of putting it in the negative term, one in three affected, they turned the name to None in Three affected. And so that's where the genesis of the name comes from. And I think it's important to understand that, because if three women are standing up in a room in a supermarket sitting on a ZR, then the statistic is that at least one of those women has either experienced, is experiencing, or will experience domestic violence or intimate partner violence. And when you say it that way, it's just mind-boggling then about the real prevalence in our society and about the numbers of people who are affected.
Well, Marcia, our time has really caught up with us, and this has been a very useful discussion. So let's have your final thoughts, words of encouragement, words of guidance.
Well, my final thought is that I like to affirm people because, you know, I feel like that is important to let people know that their work has mattered and that their contribution has mattered. And so I'm going to use that last opportunity to say to you, you might not know this, but you are one of the people who's been in the trenches forever that I have watched and tried to emulate. I think that you are an awesome human being with lots of strength and lots of energy. And I'm just grateful to you for what you have done with your advocacy and your issue. And, you know, sometimes it helps to feel like you're not the only miserable loudmouth woman, because that's how we get termed in Barbados, but that you're in good grazing with people, you know, who are just as committed and just as passionate. Thank you for having had me.
Well, thank you very much, Marcia. And I would want to say there's a program in Eugene, Oregon,
mm-hmm.
put on by, that's hosted by Mobility International USA,
mm-hmm.
where they pull together women with disabilities and do a 3-week leadership training program with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the WILD program,
mm.
Women in Leadership and Disability.
Right. Okay.
And they have actually coined and patented the phrase loud, proud,
all
and
right
passionate.
Then. All right, then. Well,
so I think
we're going forward.
Exactly. So 2020, women, people who are advocating,
mm-hmm.
we're loud.
Loud.
We're proud.
Proud.
And we're passionate.
Cheers.
Yes, definitely. I just want to say thank you very much, Marcia, also for the work that you and the National Organization of Women have been doing over the last 40 years plus, and we are looking forward to more serious work coming out from the National Organization of Women.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Remember, you have been listening to Visions with me, Yodali Wickham Ashby, and today my special guest was Marcia Hines-Nain, President of National Organization of Women. My technical operator today has been David Daddy Biggs Howell, And remember, you can also contact me on 1-246-430-7300 here at Starcom, or you can reach me on mobile 1-246-269-9660. You can WhatsApp me or just make a regular cell call. And of course, you can email me visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That's visionsbarbados@gmail.com. So until next week, do be productive and be safe.